This is Description, episode 66 for April 21st, 2009, with material recorded December 13th, 2008. And in the last episode, I mentioned, thank God, Mark Daly still at City TV. This is Mark Daly now.
This is City TV, everywhere.
Welcome to Description, Valerie in Toronto. Hello, I'm Valerie, and I'm still in Toronto. And I'm in pretty much the exact same place in the apartment in the squeaky chair that I was a few days ago when I finished doing Description 65. And I said that this whole Chum City subject would go on into another episode and that it would be in a few days. And here I am, as promised. You're welcome. So we are going to go on to the soundseeing tour of the Chum City building, which is really more a tour than is a soundseeing tour because there was a tour guide who did most of the talking. So yes, in this episode, there will mostly be some other person who is not me talking. You're welcome again. But first, I want to tell you a little story about the first time I went to the Chum City building. As I'd mentioned in another episode about the pursuit of happiness, my first day having moved to Toronto in 1986, I moved into my little room in that townhouse in Thornhill, and I set up my little TV, my little black and white TV, and I turned on Channel 7, and there was City TV, and there was the video for I'm an Adult Now by The Pursuit of Happiness, the independent version. And, you know, that marked something in me. But the show that was playing that video was called Toronto Rocks.
Thank you very much. Rod Stewart starting off there for Victoria and Tammy, who are two, celebrating their birthday as well today. People get ready with Jeff Beck at 4:30 on the way. A whole lot more, including Bruce Coburn next.
It was hosted by Brad Giffen at this point. He'd been around for a long time, even before Much Music. And it was just this music video show in the afternoon. Kids would come home from school and watch it. And I found out that the person who produced that show, Joel Goldberg, was from Cleveland. I don't know how I found this out. I think Brad must have mentioned it in passing on the show or something. And I was like, oh my God, somebody at City TV is from Cleveland. Maybe that person would know how I'm supposed to stay here and work and live and be a citizen and all that stuff I thought was going to be so fucking easy at the time. And so some weeks later, months later, I don't know, you know how long ago this was, I got it into my head that I was going to write Joel Goldberg a letter. I used to write letters back in the day. And so I wrote him a letter. But, you know, hi, I'm me, and this is my situation, and I came up here from Ohio, and blah, 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 and all this stuff. And I'd like his advice, and how American can come up here, and all this stuff. And I sent it to him. And then, even crazier, a couple weeks later, I made a follow-up phone call. What the fuck was I thinking? Because making phone calls, following up things that I've sent to people is like my least favorite thing to do ever. And yet I did it. What the fuck? So I called and got him. And I said, hi, I'm Valerie. I wrote you this letter and I came from Cleveland and blah, blah, blah. And he said, oh, yeah, I remember you. Yeah, exactly. And he said, yeah, I come from Cleveland. I even went to Kent State. You know, Kent State is the nearest major university to where I grew up. And I was like, oh, my God, really? Awesome. And he said, but I can't really help you much because both my parents are Canadian. And I was like, it was either both his parents or one of them. Anyway, he got in family class, so he didn't have to go through what I may have to go through. And I was like, oh, man, you lucky bastard. And he said, but listen, would you like to come to the building and have a tour? I'd love to take you around and maybe you can come while Toronto Rocks is going on. You can watch that being done and stuff. And I was like, really? He said, yeah, sure. And I was like, okay. So we arranged for about a week later or something that I'd go to Chum City. And so that was the first time that I visited, for real, the Chum City building and got inside and everything. And the first of many times I would go through those doors and go to the lobby and go to the person behind the desk and go, "Hi, I'm here. Such and such is, I'm meeting up with such and such here." And then they make a phone call and say, "Valerie is here." And the person shows up the lobby to meet me. Ta-da! And this one was Joel Goldberg. And so he said, "Hey, how you doing? I'm so glad you're able to come, blah, blah." And so he took me around, like a little bit around City TV and a little bit around Much Music. And in fact, while we were at Much Music, he mentioned that, in fact, Michael Williams, one of the VJs there, was also from Cleveland. And so I talked to him, and I can't remember what his situation was as far as his parentage was concerned. But all he said was basically, you know, just get a, he had a really low voice, just get a job. That's the most important thing, is to try to get a job, and then things will fall into place after that. It takes a lot of time. I said, okay. And I was like, yeah, okay, big deal. Thanks. But it turns out that ended up being kind of the situation, especially the part about taking a long time. So Joel Goldberg took me around there, and then we went over to watch Toronto Rocks, which was done live. So there was Brad Giffen in his little set. It's like a video editing suite, because he would do the video switches from one video to another there, again showing the process, all that business. And he was a nice guy, great radio voice and a lot of really thick, wonderful hair, and it was very nice. Now I remember he offered if he could get me a coffee. I think about it, I was like, yeah, I was like, no, that's okay, thanks. At the time, I didn't drink coffee yet. University would change me greatly. But at that point, I wasn't drinking coffee. I was like, no, that's cool, thanks. I really appreciate you offering, though. This is Brad Giffen, the host of Toronto Rocks, who was asking if he could give me some coffee. Whatever. And so he was a very cool guy. And so Joel took me around a couple other places and got to chat, you know, how was university and blah, blah, blah. And it was just very awesome. And then we were done. And he said, you know, listen, if you got any questions, whatever, you know, just let me know. I know it's kind of hard coming up here, but it's really worth it. And I hope you keep enjoying yourself up here, because it's a really cool place. And I go, yeah, it is. Well, and you've certainly helped my process here by being so hospitable. And so we parted ways. And I was like, wow, can you imagine? I didn't really take advantage of his hospitality. The only other time that I asked a favor of him was about a year or so later, maybe a year or two later or something. I was working on a project for a class, and it was to analyze a music video, like really analyze it. And so being the ambitious person I am, I chose INXS's Need You Tonight, which at that time was the most visually dense video out there. Thing was, this is back in the day, and it's not like you could just call it up on YouTube or whatever the hell. And, you know, you had to time it out so you could, like, record it off the TV when it came up. And at that point, it was, as we call in radio, a recurrent. It had already been played and played and played and played. And it didn't show up a whole lot. So it was pretty hit and miss. So I only got a chance to really record it when it showed up on some sort of an MTV countdown at the end of the year when I was back home for the holidays. But even so, you kids who are my age, remember the reaction time you'd have to have between when something started that you wanted to record and you actually getting to the machine and pressing the button and getting it to record, and, you know, time elapses. And so I had missed the first 15 seconds of the video, 15 seconds that I needed. And so when I got back to Toronto, I don't know how I got this in my head, but I decided to call Joel Goldberg. And so I called him and I said, you know, I'm me, blah, blah, blah. And how you doing? Da, da, da. And I said, this was on a Friday. This much I remember. I said, I wondered if you were around over the weekend or in the next few days, because I explained my situation, that I just need to see like the first, you know, 30 seconds or whatever of In Excess of Need You Tonight for this, just enough to write notes for this project I was doing. And he said, yeah, sure, no problem. I was like, really? Said, yeah, I'm gonna be here on Sunday. Why don't you come like such and such in the afternoon? I go, okay. So Sunday comes and I go there. The thing about City TV, the Chum City people, is like, people are kind of working there 24/7. It's like one thing or another, and they're flexible hours, and people are getting taken up as many hours as they take to like get shit done. So they work on weekends, they work overnight, so whatever it takes. So there's Joel Goldberg on a Sunday afternoon, and he takes me to one of these proper edit suites, not like the Toronto Rocks one, but one of dozens of edit suites they've got there that are glass and are the size of your average closet. And he leaves me there. He says, I'm going to go get the video. He goes to the vast library to get the actual video that they would use to play on Much Music and whatever for Need You Tonight. And he brings it to me and he loads it in the machine. And, you know, I'm not a video person. I never have been. I never will be. That stuff scares me sometimes. And so he like goes, okay, this button does this and this button does that. And here's the toggle knob thing and whatever. And that's really all you need to know. So I'm at extension something something. So let me know if you have any questions or anything's wrong. And otherwise, when you're done, just leave the tape at the front desk. It'll be fine. But you'll be okay. Don't worry about it. And, you know, just let me know if there's any trouble. And I went, wow, okay. And he leaves me there in an edit suite at City TV with the copy of Need You Tonight by NXS. What the fuck was he thinking? So I got to work. I ended up being there for about a half an hour, I think. And because while I was there and had this really good quality version, I might as well go to other places where in the video where I may have had questions that, you know, and made notes on that. And I got everything done that I needed to get done. I wrote all the notes that I needed to write about the video. And once I was done, I, you know, was able to eject the video without anything exploding and put it in the box and left it at the front desk and off I went. And that was the last that I really saw of Joel Goldberg, at least in person. Now, he went on to do many other more prominent things, not the least of which was directing one of the hallmark music videos in Canadian hip-hop, the pioneering video, and that is Let Your Backbone Slide by Maestro Fresh West.
This is a throwdown, a showdown. Hell no, I can't slow down. It's going to go.
First offense.
All of the mix.
He directed that along with many other music videos and TV specials and commercials, a lot of commercials. And, you know, went on and did his thing. Last time I tried to contact Joel Goldberg, I think was while I was in exile, about 93, 94, and sent him a letter, not really asking for anything, just saying, you know, this is where I am, blah, 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 blah. And that by that point, he was working on a fashion series on City called Ooh La La. And we got that down there, I don't know how, in Ohio. And so that's what reminded me to contact him. And that was the last time I tried to contact him, didn't hear back. And that's it. So that was my first experience of being in the Chum City building. And I think it's indicative of what kind of people were there. small act of kindness, you know, how it works. It doesn't seem like much at the time, but it makes a big difference to people oftentimes, and people remember it like right now, 20-something years later. So I wanted to give props to Joel Goldberg, and maybe I will contact him again. I don't know if I'll write a letter, but who knows? So let's go on to the tour of the Chum City building, or at least part of it. Again, I had gone to the Chum City building in the middle of December to contribute to what is now known as the Chum CP24 Christmas Wish. Made my donation, which meant you could go have a tour of CP24, the 24-hour local news channel that I have deemed the last great innovation of the Chum City era. So let's pick it up where I kind of left off, where I was making my way into the building.
In the front. Thank you. Excuse me. Lobby's the same. Then to the e-talk area.
Hi, welcome. Come on in.
It's actually me, this is Matt, but I can't remember.
Yeah.
But they just took a shot to wait.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I'm back.
Well, I'll start this tour up. So, folks, do you want to gather around? I'll start this tour. My name is Tony. I work here at CP24, obviously. I'm the director of news production. I've been here only about a year now, so I haven't been here that long. So the set you're in now is a multi-purpose set. E-Talk is done in this set. The breakfast show, which I don't know if you folks watch the breakfast show, but right where the coffee station is over there, that's where Kevin and Dean in the morning, they have the glass table rolls in. Mm-hmm. They do the breakfast show from here. The bands are in this area as well. I mean, it's quite a multi-purpose unit. City Line used to be shot in here. E-Talk in the afternoon, all the interviews and the live portions of the show are, it's not done live in here, it's live to tape, and then they edit everything together in post-production. So this is a multi-used room. In fact, the night that we did our, I don't know if anybody saw our election show on CP24, but we did a big chunk of our party out of this room. So we just set up tables. So everybody uses this room. It's like a swing room, so it's really great. I don't know a lot about the history of the building because I haven't been here long. So I can't tell you much about the building. But what I can tell you is that there are 22 or 26 channels that are actually broadcast from this building. You know, you've got Book, CP24. You've got Much Music channels, you've got Space, you've got Fashion TV, all have studios on the different floors. So this is a working studio building. It's probably, in my career, I've been in TV about 20 years, probably the most unique broadcast building in Canada for television. It's just so multifaceted. And I remember one of my first days at work here, I walked through the doors and I was sitting down at my desk and looking, and I came from a smaller newsroom, and one moment I saw a bunch of dancer rappers going by. The next time I saw a guy in a kilt with a set of horns on. The next time I was walking, that was the boss. But you know, it's such a crazy building, such a creative building. You just never know what's going to walk through. Any questions about this room? No?
So Tanya Kim's here, and they brought
Yeah, they do a great scene with that. They often stand right on top of that. That's the little leaf that lights up. Yeah, it's a great show. It's a great show. Yeah, Much Music set is next. I can't take you into that set today, but I'm going to take you now into the control. We're live on air right now. Mm-hmm. Anna's talking to some of the folks that are on the tour, that were just on the tour a few minutes ago. So that's all live. So everything you see from here on in is going to be live. So if you want to follow me, please do so. And make sure you bring your coats and stuff because we're exiting outside of the area.
Mm-hmm. Going to the back.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Going past equipment, always going past equipment.
Just watch your steps here, bro. So this is Much Music is in here.
The just back of
it. Doors. Like I said, I can't take you in there today, but it's that's where they do all the live shows, Much On Demand. It's a very, very popular music show on one of our specialty channels.
I don't know, you guys watch Much Music?
Yeah.
Some of you probably have to. You're not given a choice, but it's great. So they've been here forever. So that's the Much Music newsroom.
Forever.
And just let you know,
editing suites.
Live, so the folks in the control room right now are doing the show live.
There's the elevator. It's the entrance to City TV News at the moment. Always, always walking past edit suites and equipment. Ducking in here now. Okay, this is another entrance to the newsroom.
Look at that. That's where they do that traffic.
These folks are working. So this is our control room. This newsroom in particular is shared by CP24, our channel, and the city newsroom. And I don't know if you guys understand, but in the last year, CP24 was bought by CTV, the company CTV, and the city newsroom was bought by Rogers. So in the next year or so, city is moving to their new facility, and CP24 just recently went to their new facility, just to kind of give you an idea of the background. But we're keeping our control room in here. So this is the control room that controls everything that happens on our airwaves at CP24. So here you have we call the CG operator, the Chiron operator, that brings all the lower third name keys. You know, if there's a number up or something, a graphic on the bottom of the screen, this person does this. This is the technical director, Dave. He takes care of all the different sources of cameras. So whether on a live truck, on a scene, if we're out in the parking lot or in the studio, he controls all the cameras, the robotic cameras in our studio. We have unmanned cameras, all robotic, state-of-the-art. They're very, very cool. Next position over in the very front on the right-hand side, that's our director. So the director is essentially in control of what goes to air. Not the content, but the flow of a newscast. And behind the director is the producer. The producer is responsible for the content. The producer will say, we're going to cover this story, we're going to go here live, you know, we're going to spend 30 more seconds out in the parking lot talking to Anika. Makes all of those decisions. And then the person way over in the corner you can't see is our VTR operator. We used to say that they rolled tapes, but now everything's computer-based and in servers, so it's all kind of, there's no more tape anymore. When our cameras go out and shoot, they shoot on a disc, they bring it back loaded in the system. Everybody has access to that at once. So it's quite cool now. Everything's pretty state-of-the-art. When we edit stories or we edit pieces, there's no more tape. It's all in the computer system. It's all edited in a non-linear fashion and then ingested into the system and ready for air within 20 seconds. So it's that instant. And then in behind the glass here is audio. And they control all the audio source. At any point in time, there could be 9, 10, 11 audio sources coming into the building. So it's a very, very busy area. Any questions?
Which is the master screen that's actually live?
Well, it's kind of, the screens all represent something for these guys. For example, when you see Chris and Anika right now,
yeah.
They're live. There's a split screen of Anne. The one to the left is actually what's going in the air, but that box is actually shrunk down into our enhanced screen. That's what makes CP24 unique.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the live source. The camera and the system just shrink everything down to fit into the box.
So you say that that's where the Chiron for the lower third is happening. I've always wondered, on the enhanced screen,
yeah.
The business with the black background.
Yeah.
Where is that done? Yeah.
Well, I'm going to show you. When we go into the other room,
okay.
Our writers are constantly writing
mm-hmm.
headlines and dropping it into an automated system that runs that, and they constantly freshen those up.
Got it.
The graphics up top, the numbers, where just below the clock, the weather is put in manually, but it's automated through the day. The graphics are all automated. The whole system is as automated as possible, but the information has to be fed by people.
Got it.
Thank God. Otherwise,
yeah.
We all be out of work. So just follow me through here, folks.
I think in the last 10 seconds I just walked past 5 security guards.
This area used to be, I don't know if you folks remember Bravo.
Yeah.
The Bravo, yeah.
Used to.
Bob just. Sure. This used to be the Bravo set and the rehearsal hall, and they've since moved to the temple. So we took over the space when CP24, you know, when that whole CTV Rogers thing took place and we were separating, we took over this space. So we.
There's a big Bravo sign on top of this building. Do you remember Bravo?
So I just ask you to be a little bit quiet in here because we are live on air. You can still talk, but on screen.
Noted with brick walls. Old brick walls.
Come on up, come on right up.
No, we're not getting you on TV.
Come on right up, come on, come on, come on.
Come on right up. People go ahead.
Come on right up, guys. Come on right up. Come on right up.
This is the CP24 main set. We're climbing up onto it. Trying to get in the back here.
Okay, just watch the, you know, the height of the shirt up there. Come on.
Sure.
And I'm Bob, the janitor. Just slide right in there, guys.
Trying to stay in the back here. This is our open house. Oh, it's live.
Very kind people who brought new unwrapped toys and cash donations, and now they are a part of this tour, and they're getting a first look at our new newsroom.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think? Couple of thumbs up?
Well, in my bedroom.
I think we'll just put the TV in your bedroom. How's that? And Bob Summers joins us live. We know you, we love you, we see you, and thank you for navigating us through traffic chaos. From the Chum CP24 Chum newsroom.
Thanks for having me. Great being good. I really haven't been here since they completed the renovation. Kind of interesting. I mean, it's great to be on a tour. I want to check out the vehicles in the back. And what a great excuse for not backing up.
Just return the keys at 5 o'clock, will you? Would you mind? I'd love to. Do you feel like getting up and moving about? I just have to get everyone's first name.
Sure.
Are you okay?
I don't want to get everyone's first name. Crap.
Great. Okay, and I'm.
Now we have to repeat the all the names.
Here I come, and I'm on camera
I
now.
I need another couple of coffees before we get to that. Your name?
Joseph.
Brian.
Kate.
Vic.
Yeah.
Valerie.
Go I'm Ted. Coach.
Very nice.
And way off in the back.
Over here.
I'm Carolyn.
Carolyn. Thank you for coming down.
Now she's got a fantastic hat. Now that would be perfect at the 2010 Olympics, wouldn't it? It would. It's outdated now, right?
We weren't going to say. If we're talking fashion tips, there it is.
That's okay. Thank you.
My tour guide gives him her a CP24 hat.
Yeah, looks good.
Now, why did you all come down here today?
Help out with the gift.
These are my two boyfriends, by the way. Officially. Yep.
Bring down.
And why do you think that it's an important thing to do, particularly in today's economy?
Not everybody's as fortunate as we are.
And you know, if you think about what's going to happen on Christmas morning, you've really made a difference by bringing something down today.
I hope so.
Can you share?
Feel good about ourselves.
Yeah. That really does make a difference. You know, if you walk a mile in someone's shoes, and I think that we do that often, imagine what it would be like to be a parent and not able to give your child a toy under the tree. So you've just made the difference by donating something today. Thank you, everyone, for doing that. We're open till 5 o'clock, and you know, love to have you come down. It is 12 noon right now on Saturday, December the 13th. This is a great day for all of us here at CP24. It gives us the chance to meet our wonderful viewers, and I couldn't be more tickled pink than to actually spend time with people who spend time with us. Thank you for that. Please come on down, bring a new unwrapped toy or a cash donation. What we will offer you is our thanks. And also a tour of our new newsroom, and we've got coffee and hot chocolate and donuts courtesy of Country Style, and you get to meet Bob Summers, which is fantastic. It's nice to see you in the flesh. You're a good man, you know that? Thank you, everyone, and thank you for being here. May I applaud you?
Thanks. Thank you.
Are you having fun? I'd like to hear how much fun you're having.
Lots of
First offense.
All the mix. Okay, party people in the house.
May I have your attention, please?
In a moment, the beat will be played in many parts. Many parts. Very.
grease like bumblebees. They travel like a burning flame. We see them slice the funk inside. It's a 1-1 hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Third period, last game of the playoffs too. Oh, take me where the hockey players face off down the rink. And the Stanley Cup is all filled up for the champs who win the drink. Now the final flick of a hockey stick and a one gigantic scream. The puck is in, the home team wins the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old.
That's Frog the Dog and a mashup of Let Your Backbone Slide by Maestro Fresh West and the hockey song by Stompin' Tom Connors. Stompin' Tom is an episode unto himself one of these days. That was from a mashup collection called Made in Canada. For information on those two songs, on that mashup artist, and all kinds of other stuff being talked about in this episode and other episodes, please go to the blog descriptiontoronto.com. And now let's continue the tour of CP24.
So as you can see, this is our state-of-the-art newsroom. We kind of designed it in a loft style, just to kind of reflect the whole downtown loft, urban condo kind of thing.
City TV.
So that was kind of our idea to begin with. The talk TV set is to the far left. We can change the backgrounds in those monitors and put any color, any graphic we want in there. That's where we do our talk TVs, animal house calls, hot properties, our health show, Wild and Health. Main anchor desk is here. As you saw, you're on air. We don't generally just bring the audience in like that, but today's a special day. And then traffic and weather, we often do in this. We do a lot of weather outside, but we do our traffic here. We also do it with this young fella, time to time.
Was that live when we were on there?
Everything we do is live. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, we do pre-tape some segments so that the people can have breaks because we're live all the time. But for the most part, I would say 90% of our broadcast day from 6 a.m. in the morning until 11:30 is live. 90-95%. So, yeah, that's we're Toronto's breaking news. We have to be live. Yeah.
We should have put makeup on. We don't know that.
Just to little, take away the shine
yeah,
a little.
Exactly.
I understand. Next time I'll have my powder puff ready. Yeah, so this is basically our set area, state-of-the-art weather in this zone. And then behind you, when you see breaking news, we have an assignment desk right behind you here, and that's a breaking news desk. So behind here, if there's something happening, we have a breaking news producer, and we have an assignment editor. Karen is doing our breaking news today, and Katie is our assignment editor. Hi, guys. How you doing? Yeah, so they basically run the show.
So just for an accident and stuff like that?
For accidents or, you know, just when breaking news happens. It could be anything. It could be a fire. It could be a murder, you know. Yeah. Not that happens in Toronto. But
no. I mean, you wouldn't.
So, yeah, it could be anything. And then in the studio, we have a bunch of cameras in the grids. So a camera there, a camera there, a camera there, a camera over there. So we use them to shoot the environment. The whole part of building, the whole theory behind building the studio was to show process and show people how we do breaking news. So we can do it from and getting the news, going to the breaking news desk, put our reporter in the truck. We can go live in the truck on the way to the scene. On the way to the scene, we can have our mass cam shooting live visuals. So the whole idea is to show everybody the process of how we gather breaking news. So that was the kind of the concept behind this design.
Yeah. Well, I'm just
going to
let you head outside.
And door directly out.
Actually, come walk out and then I'll just zip in. It's not that bad.
Thanks. Where are we? Okay, the back entrance, the Richmond entrance of the parking lot. Thanks. And so we're walking into the back of the parking lot. where there are CP24 trucks and Much trucks, and now I'm walking past where I would go into shipping and receiving. There are still normal person cars in the parking lot, and murals for Bravo and all the properties.
Hey! Hi there!
Hi!
Hi.
Quiet, folks.
Hi. Morning.
This is the best part of the tour.
Hey. Well, I'm going to show you. Yeah. I say bad things about Tony.
Tony gave her a hat.
I'm just
going to
head back.
Thank you.
I'm going to show you just some of the live vehicles that we have. There's some are out in the road looking for news right now. Some of them are asleep because they were out all night hunting news. But this, we have the biggest news fleet in Canada, and probably bigger than most of the U.S. We get about 14 trucks that can go live. Some other stations might have one if they're lucky. We also have the helicopter as well that gets scrambled over anything major. This is the little baby one here, and this is very, very new. What looks like a police camera up there, a police dash camera.
Oh, yeah, that's
cool.
Well,
it actually is one, but it is actually routed through new technology that will send live pictures onto the internet. We call it live casting because that's the name of the company that we got it from. So if you've been watching and you see moving shots where I'm doing the talking, it goes live anywhere. Then we see... this one's called Clipper. All these ones are named after weather. And that's a microwave mast, and it's pointing at the CN Tower right now. That's how we go live. As long as it can see the CN Tower, it'll work. And it has Bell Express View, too, as you can see. That's what that dish is, that dome thing. So we can see what's going on off air. These things are really amazing. They're four-wheel drive, so we can go anywhere in bad weather. We have four trucks that look like this. Then we see a lot of these little baby guys here. All of these have capability of going live, but they're pretty much confined to Toronto, the technology they have. Now this one here, this is actually $1 million truck. This one here is called Thunder, and it has a microwave mast, and you can see all of our trucks that have a mast have a camera on them too.
Right.
So sometimes we'll be at a big crime scene, police have it taped off, we want to see what they're doing, so hello, so we can still play submarine and watch what they're doing. Now what happens here, if there's a big crime, say up north somewhere, we can't see the CN Tower, as long as we can see into outer space, that satellite dish goes up, hits the satellite, and it bounces the signal back down into those dishes there, and then you end up seeing it home. So that's the technology it has. It also has a thing called COFDM. So when you see these little funny cigar-shaped antennas, means it can go live too. So we have these on patrol all the time. And there's police radios in all these trucks, so we can hear police, fire, and ambulance what's going on. We try and get there as quick as we can within reason. And then open up.
He opens the back.
Camera guy grabs some cable.
A ton of equipment.
And they start transmitting right away there. Cameras in there, and then so that's basically how they work, and that's we're using these two trucks right now. They're actually transmitting. Clipper and Twister are working right now. The rest are like I say, they're out in the road gathering news as we speak. So it's we try and get it to you right when it happens, and sometimes it's we're there first before it happens. So thanks for coming out. We really appreciate the toys, and I'm sure the kids are gonna love it on Christmas. So
what happened? You got tired of dealing with the people in the
actually policing and this business are almost the same. You don't know what's gonna happen when you come to work and get a nice surprise.
Now did you redesign the color scheme on these vehicles?
Actually that was part of the deal. I said I want a black and white. They said don't worry, that's kind of what we picked. This was the time I switched here, that was just when they were painting these things. So and they're buying more. There's new ones coming, two more Suburbans coming up from Florida. That's where they build them. I think one's already here. The camera guys always fight over who gets to go down to pick it up, but two more of those coming, and then another one of the little baby ones coming with even more technology. So
technically you haven't been working for these guys specifically for very long. How fast was the learning curve on all of this TV stuff?
Well, and some of it they are teaching us.
Yeah. Gadgets.
I've been exposed to it
really soon.
I've been exposed to a lot of it as the media guy with the OPP, but yeah. Some of this is actually new to them too. Like my truck with the live cast, we just
oh
got.
Yeah, that's so yeah, they, that's brand new.
They're buying stuff just about every week. There's something new. Early in the new year, if not before Christmas, I'll have a handheld version. I won't even need the truck.
Ah.
I'll be able to go live just with a
look out
anywhere
for you.
A cellular phone would work. It would work.
Wow.
So the nerd says. The head nerd says it's going to work. it probably will.
the head nerd has been a busy guy lately.
Yeah. Actually, we've got a whole bunch of nerd elves up at CFTO that are
right.
And engineers here that down in the basement. So it's actually pretty interesting. We learn stuff every day.
Yeah, that was nice.
We're always trying to do something new and find a way to get the news in a more exciting way. And
right.
As live as the way people want it. You know, people don't necessarily have time to watch it at 6 o'clock anymore.
Yeah.
And it's different though. You know, the 6 o'clock show is different than what you see it. Like we get there sort of quick and fast, and then by 6 o'clock they usually have more and more in depth. So if you have time for that, great.
Right.
If you just want to know in a hurry, come to us.
Right.
Over a million people do a day. Unless
yep.
It snows, then it's about 2 million.
Yep.
And if some mafia guy's propane place blows up,
wow.
It's about 2.2 million.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I did.
The
hats.
Oh, I don't have any. They didn't even give me one. They gave me a Santa button.
He gets access to the gadgets.
That's all I got.
Cool.
So nice meeting you.
Okay.
Thanks for
thanks
doing
very
down.
Much.
Thanks,
Cam.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks. Excuse me, getting out now.
Thank you.
And there you go. To clarify a little bit, that last guy I was talking to was Cam Woolley. He used to be, as he said, a media guy for the OPP. So City TV, anytime there was something about traffic or a crash or whatever, they would go to him, and he was really good. And everybody, you know, knew he was the go-to guy, and I think, frankly, he might have gotten a little too popular. There are the odd attention whores above him and police forces that were kind of jealous, to be honest with you, I think, and knocked him down a peg or two. But eventually he retired, and not surprisingly, CTV offered him a gig as quote unquote traffic specialist. That's another thing about City TV and City Pulse was, he is, that they have specialists. People have specific beats. Sometimes they would cross over, but, you know, and in hiring those people, oftentimes they wouldn't, like, have just a generic journalist and, like, that person would, you know, we'll give you this beat. They would hire people who already had kind of a knowledge or expertise in a certain area, kind of bringing people, say, from outside the box. and have those people who already had some sort of expertise, some sort of special knowledge, they would bring them in and bring it to bear on their reporting. So there are more than a few examples of this. Like you'd have the legendary Colin Vaughn and his son, Adam, as specialists about the city and city politics. And Colin would also bring in his knowledge, vast, long, legendary knowledge of architecture and the way cities are built. He'd have all of the terms that I can't come up with for these things on this building. And his son came from, that knowledge, and writing on his own terms, and and city politics, and then became a city politician, as he is now. And they still go to him. So Cam Woolley's a great example of that. A guy who you already knew had this knowledge. In fact, Amber Mack. We love Amber MacArthur of Command N. God bless her. She got brought in after being well established as a primo geek. Was brought in as a new media specialist. This was around the time of the Chum City breakup, merger, whatever the hell, and she and stuff kind of started to suck, and she was there for only a fairly short time, unfortunately. But she's back. In fact, I saw a report from her repeated twice this morning for CP24, this section called Web Nation. So she's there, occasional new media specialist. So I think that's a great advantage to the Chum City model, much of which that guy, Tony, was explaining about this. Like, when we were in CP20, this killed me. The dude's been there for a year, and he's like, remember Bravo? I'm like, I'm sorry I kind of took him back with that reaction of mine, but it's like, fuck, will you please know what the hell channels you all have? I mean, serious. I mean, there's a lot of them, but fuck, you work for the company. Jesus. Anyway, we were in the CP24 news area, all right, main news area where Ann Rohmer was and all his business. Ann Rohmer, by the way, has been at City TV since the dawn of dirt. that's not true. Slightly after the dawn of dirt. I'll probably be talking earlier in the show about the dawn of dirt. Anyway, and now she's with CP24. She is the CP24 person. She is practically CP24 now. God bless her. Anyway, when we were in that area, all right, that used to be the Bravo rehearsal hall. Oh, God, I can't believe this is a Bravo rehearsal hall. It makes me sad. Anyway. And dude was explaining, well, we decided that we wanted this open concept to, like, match with the, you know, downtown loft aesthetic kind of thing. And I'm, like, thinking in the back of my head, I'm like, bullshit. This isn't a downtown loft aesthetic kind of thing. This is a City TV thing, okay? This is the sort of shit that Moses Neimer fucking invented, all right? So don't be saying, talking like you're at a presentation center for a condo and are talking about the concept that the corporation went through for the layout. I mean, it's bullshit. This is a City TV thing. And just say it and acknowledge the fucking history. But of course, you don't know the fucking history, right? Because you're only here for a year and you have no sense of history of this place. So, fuck you. But besides that, he was a really great tour operator. Sorry. You kids, get off of my lawn. But so, I think if, even if Val Globe Media, whatever the fuck, decides, you know, whatever spin they want to put on something, okay, whether they want to, you know, say that, you know, it was their idea for the storefront concept, is their idea for the open concept, whatever sort of rationale or spin they put on shit, if they basically keep the same concepts intact, regardless of whether they actually know where the fuck they came from, I'm good. The problem is that I don't think that's going to happen. That it's going to be a slow deterioration, but I'm hoping that they see how successful it's been and maintain it. And if they can't maintain it based on a sense of history, then based on a sense of what works, works. So, it really remains to be seen. But, that tour we had of that little ETOC area and CP24, that's like... And CP24, technically, I believe, is not part of the original building. It's in the little offshoot area. But, I think, I might be wrong, but... So, I barely scratched the surface of this building in that tour. Not barely. We just nibbled at a corner of this building. But, we went up and down a little bit of the center stairwell that I've been up and down, and that people I know have been up and down hundreds of times, these old stairs. And I remember going up to the second floor and hanging out with Patrick when he helped with the power map that he gave me. And we took hours and hours in the graphics area trying to get that thing started to where it would be stable. And then across the hall to the editing suite to go see Bob Cook and all that he helped me with. And that dude did audio from before, did audio here from before the dawn of dirt. And to hang out with him and how enthusiastic he still was about the way they did things, and Macs everywhere in the graphics department. There probably still are because it's the graphics department, but I don't know. And, you know, people just walking by and doing their stuff. And like Tony said at the beginning, it's like kind of a circus atmosphere because of so many different channels. It's like you'd have rappers walking by 1 minute and state officials, provincial officials walking by the next minute and, you know, what the hell. But I thought that this might be one of the last chances I ever got to even nibble at the corner of this building. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. And I think in media, you learn, especially as we're in so many transitions, that, you know, don't put it off. Don't put it off going into or visiting some place that you felt like visiting, because, you know, the way things have been working, in 6 months it might not be there. You might not have a chance. So take advantage of what you wanna learn about something you appreciate. So off I go along Queen Street West, away from what I think is the Gem City building.
And that'll do it for another episode of Description. Thank you so much for bearing with me through this whole two-part epic about Chum City and what hath Moses Nimer wrought. The blog is descriptiontoronto.com. The email is descriptionto@gmail.com. Always honored and privileged to be hosted by publicbroadcasting.ca. Go there and find out who's doing the real innovating in Canadian media these days? Him. Do I have anything else? Is there anything else I can think of? I don't think so. Nothing I probably won't think of in about 5 minutes after I've stopped talking to you. I'll be back to the regular schedule of doing podcasts, so I'll probably show up again in about a month or so. I will leave you with the scene from the next home of City TV. As has been discussed, media divorce, separating stations, blah, blah. Right now, CP24 and other stuff owned by Chum are still, in the same building as City TV, which is now hosted by Rogers. Hosted? Yeah, that's an internet way to think of it. Owned by Rogers. So the Rogers people are moving City TV out of the Chum City building. I know, it makes me shudder just thinking about it. And where they're going with their other Rogers TV properties like Omni 1 and 2 and other stuff like that there, they're going to a complex around Dundas Square, actually the back of Dundas Square, where we've been more than a few times. You know, it's across from the Eaton Center. And at the back of Dundas Square is this building that was, what is it called? The Olympic Spirit Building. You see, in Toronto, we had this crazy idea that we were going to have the Olympics at some point. And as part of the bid, they decided to have this kind of Olympic Canadian Museum or whatever. And it was Olympic Spirit whatever. And yeah, that didn't work out. So that's where the new home of City TV is going to be. And so I went over there with this new snazzy-ass Zoom H2 and recorded what that place sounds like right now. So I will leave you with that. Thank you very much again for listening, and take care.